Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Opening statements today in the murder case of Bella Bond. She's the 2-year-old whose body was found on Deer Island, stuffed in a plastic garbage bag in 2015. The child's mother, Rochelle Bond, agreed to a plea deal in exchange for her testimony against her boyfriend, Michael McCarthy. He faces first-degree murder charges. Suffolk County Assistant DA David Deacon said in opening statements today that McCarthy was obsessed with the occult and that Bond found him hitting the toddler on the night she died.
When she asked him, "What did you do?" he said, "She just died. It was her time. She was a demon."
Defense attorney Jonathan Shapiro cast McCarthy as a caring man who had a purely scholarly interest in good and evil.
According to the prosecutor, this obsession gave Michael a motive to kill Bella, that he killed her because he believed she was a demon. That is absurd.
Well, we're joined now by Susan Zellkind. She's an investigative reporter covering the trial for The Daily Beast. She was at Suffolk Superior Court, but she joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, what are your first impressions of day one of this trial and the opening arguments? What was the mood like in the courtroom?
I've been to a lot of murder trials, and this one really sticks to you. I think part of the reason is the victim, who's a 2-year-old girl. I don't think you can say that any other victim could be more innocent than Bella Bond. But part of it is the uncertainty. You have the witness, who's the girl's mother, Rochelle Bond, who was in the apartment where her daughter was held in a refrigerator for a number of weeks, mm-hmm. and then accompanied the alleged murderer to South Boston, where they dumped it into the ocean. And then the other factor is that you have demonology.
Right.
The supernatural plays a real role in this trial.
So tell us more about that, because in the days and weeks after Bella Bond's body was identified and Rochelle Bond and Michael McCarthy were brought to public's attention, we got a first hint of that the occult may play a role here, but we heard it firsthand in the trial today. I mean, what more did prosecutors and defense attorneys say about that?
Well, you have the prosecution on the one hand is trying to paint McCarthy as someone who's very interested in demonology, who it all started with Sage. He came to Rochelle Bond's apartment and started using Sage to cast out an evil spirit that she said she felt too. Then it seemingly escalated. And we've heard this before leading up to the trial, that there's a witness who allegedly was in the apartment and was there when Bella Bond was locked in a closet because her caregivers thought she was a demon, who thought she was possessed. Now, on the other hand, you have the defense who says, no, it's not Michael McCarthy who's obsessed with demons. It's Rochelle Bond, who's the mother and the key witness. And her story, according to the defense, and this is the real spooky part that we heard today, she says a friend says that she told her that a shadow has been following her whole life, and the demons had tried to get to her, but she was too strong, and now the demons are trying to get to her through her daughter.
Hmm. Interesting. And of course, as you said, Rochelle Bond's going to be testifying against Michael McCarthy. That was part of her plea deal. So she's the star witness for the prosecution. And in fact, was the only person there in the house on the night that other than McCarthy on the night that Bella Bond was killed. But also, let me ask you, we heard an entirely different portrayal of McCarthy from his defense attorney, from Jonathan Shapiro. I mean, you were there, and I was reading things on Twitter about Shapiro saying things like, you know, McCarthy was actually very loving to Bella Bond.
Yeah, you heard that. You hear another side of McCarthy. You hear about Catholic school. You hear about heroin. And heroin is another huge factor in this entire trial, addiction and opioids. But you also hear that when McCarthy came to the family, that he was able to better take care of Bella, that he was the reason why he was in the house was because he was able to put her to bed. He was authority, a stern, loving authority figure, and that we'll see more of that in the trial.
Well, you mentioned drugs and drug abuse being a major part of this trial. Let's play a little bit more tape. This is Suffolk County Assistant DA David Deakin, and he said one of the things that makes this trial quite difficult is that addicts in general, he said, often have a hard time remembering specific, like, times, dates, and places.
One of the things that you will experience in this case is that the evidence will show you that most of the major players in this case had damaged themselves with drugs. Some of them almost literally hollowing themselves out with substances.
Susan, so let me ask you a very important point, because if I remember correctly, both Rochelle Bond and Michael McCarthy were quite significant drug users. But why would the assistant DA make this point when Rochelle Bond is going to be the star witness for the prosecution? Doesn't this also sort of make jurors wonder, can we trust what she says?
I think he's playing defense here. There's a lot of problems with Rochelle Bond's testimony. One of the biggest problems with this case is that there is no clear cause of death. We don't know exactly how Bella was murdered. So the government's case, to a large degree, is going to rest on what Rochelle Bond says. Now, by the prosecution's own account, Rochelle Bond is a heroin addict. The prosecution claims that after Michael McCarthy murdered Bella, that he injected Rochelle Bond with heroin into her neck and induced her addiction once more. The defense is going to say that she was already an addict, but we also see when we were hearing these stories about witnesses in the trial that we're going to hear about later running into each other in Methadone Mile. Rochelle Bond runs into the father of her child who's never met Bella. There's another witness who Rochelle Bond tells a story to, who's a friend of McCarthy, who she also sees on Methadone Mile. So we see addiction in every single aspect of this case.
Right. I mean, I think that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why this case so thoroughly caught the nation's attention in 2015, because we have the scourge of drugs. We have two very troubled people at the heart of it. We have a murdered two-year-old. We also have the failure of the state at times in terms of the Bond's interaction with DCF and, you know, how the neighborhood responded. I mean, why do you think this case, now that we're in the actual trial portion, continues to to captivate not just Massachusetts residents, but also the country?
Well, I mean, at first you have a dead child who went unidentified for months. So the idea that somebody or nobody could be missing this child, I think, haunted the world in many ways. And I think it still does. So what's the story now? Why didn't anybody step forward earlier? And we're seeing a large part of that story has to do with drugs. And how are we as a community responsible for that? What could DCF have done differently? I know Governor Baker made a huge report after this finding. I think it's still haunting, but it's also still really unresolved.
Yeah.
This, I think the prosecution is going to have to work hard to convince the jury that Michael McCarthy is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt based on Rochelle Bond's testimony.
Well, Susan Zellkind is a journalist for The Daily Beast. She's covering the murder trial, the trial of the murder of Bella Bond that's going on now at Suffolk Superior Court. Opening arguments were heard there today. Susan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.